This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Yes, he's giving it the resonance as proper of a radio announcer. Micah Hanks of the Graylian Report with Gene and Chris. So this takes us back when we looked at possible conventional answers to all the stuff that was happening during World War II and thereafter, and the ghost rockets, and the Foo Fighters, and the early UFO cases. And we wonder, how much of the stuff that influenced this myth and caused us to look to the skies and maybe find some real stuff going on there was really something that was conventional, testing the German inventions, et cetera, et cetera. What do you think, Micah?
Well, most certainly. And of course, you mentioned ghost rockets. I wrote a book that was titled The Ghost Rockets, which didn't just look at what was happening over Scandinavia. There were some very good points about that subject that were raised in other literature that came about after my book was written. And I think, the Rosetta Deception. You guys, of course, have.
Yeah, James Kerrion's book, yeah.
Yeah, James Kerrion has raised some really good points about that era. And really, I think, rightly insinuates that a lot of that probably had to do with misdirection by government agencies, which kind of comes back around to something that Greer's meeting planner pointed out. He lists misinformation from cases like Benowitz and Doty make you question any case that involves officialdom. When he says cases like Benowitz and Doty, we have to remember again that Benowitz, I guess, was Paul Benowitz was the victim more. Richard Doty was probably the problem in that case. And Benowitz wasn't the only person affected by that misinformation campaign. But, you know, the fundamental point remains that it was a good example of misinformation being handed to UFO researchers so as to obfuscate from perhaps some actual reality. And that case, I think, really underscores what a lot of this phenomena really is about. Somebody sees something that, in that instance, I think it was the NSA doing tests up there at Kirkland Air Force Base. Benowitz approaches them. He already was pretty imaginative in his thinking, and he was someone who was really into the UFO subject. Rather than being told, look, back off, you shouldn't be looking into this, they actually kind of encourage his interest, but encourage it in a way that is consistent with his existing UFO beliefs, and Richard Doty contributed to that kind of a thing. So again, you might say that goes all the way back to the end of the Second World War. If we have experimental technology in our skies, perhaps some fairly exotic different varieties of aircraft being tested, some stuff that perhaps for whatever strategic importance, defense reasons, need to know, whatever else, may still be off the books largely. And this is something, again, that I remember Robert Schaefer and I talking about a few years back. He had said, in his opinion, and I don't want to misquote him by any means, because, I get along well with Robert, but in his opinion, he said that if that were the case, if there were information pertaining to experimental studies that went back decades, we should have access to that by now. I disagree. I do not believe that all information that has been around for a few decades or so is probably publicly available. We only had an official disclosure about Area 51 a couple of years ago, and that was only tangent to the actual subject of Area 51 and what's going on out there. It was mentioned in documentation that was disclosed about the U-2 and the Oxcart programs, and so it wasn't a huge splash made, but, I mean, a lot of people, aviation historians, UFO researchers, they did point out, hey, finally, for the first time, officially, to say that all this stuff should be publicly
available. It only took 50 years.
Only took 50 years, half a century. Coming back to the discussion with Robert Schaefer, I understand that, sure, that stuff should be publicly available, but do I think that maybe it's a bit naive to assert that it absolutely is? There are probably reasons why certain things are kept off the books, and that has to do with national security. If in the interest of national security, something is not only kept secret, but certain people are given bad information to further help protect that secrecy, we have situations like Doty. And so I think that this probably covers a lot of what we see in ufology, unfortunately. Now, coming back to these large aircraft I'm talking about, I think we've got information sometimes that shows up that can be questionable, like MJ-12 and things like that. And then you do have witness reports. What interests me is when you have consistent descriptions by multiple individuals, not maybe at the same time, but over a period perhaps that describe a lot of the same sorts of characteristics in relation to a craft. Let's go to the archives here. October 1998, approximately 1 a.m., just about an hour south of me in Liberty, South Carolina, a gentleman by the name of Aaron had written to me, and I'm going to tell you what he described. And I quote him as saying, "At the time, I was about 10 miles from the nearest town, so light pollution was fairly low. As I came around a bend in the road, my headlights malfunctioned, causing me to stop the car. The car had had some electrical problems, and I do not attribute that to what happened next. As I opened the door to get out of the car, I looked up, and at around a 45-degree angle to my line of sight was a black, triangular object. It was to the right side of the road and moving slowly to my left. It appeared to be about the size of a large commercial airplane and had three dim red lights near each corner. The illumination of these lights had been just enough that I could make out the shape. I watched for about 1 to 2 minutes as it moved over the road, and then it began to accelerate and moved out of view. Now, at the time, I was 17 years old, and I thought I had witnessed something extraterrestrial. I was terrified, and I didn't tell anyone for months. And as I've grown older, I've come to think that this may indeed have been very terrestrial in origin. I find the reports of mystery blimps fascinating, and I wonder if this was something similar." Now, that one's pretty interesting, but again, right around the same time, maybe early to mid-1990s, we're going to go to Enron, Ohio, and this is where we have a report that occurs near Dayton Springfield Road on the overpass of a railroad track. They said, "As the crow flies," this is less than 3 miles to the large landing strip over at the nearest Air Force base. He said, "To the north, I saw a very large, silent, low-flying black triangle that was headed toward Wright-Patterson's airstrip. I grew up in Enron, and as a child, there were B-52s at this airstrip where the triangle was headed. It looked to be twice the size of a B-52. And one last odd thing," they said, "it seemed as if I were traveling faster than the triangle. Now, remember the Federation of American Scientists report talking about people in California saying they could jog alongside these things." We have another one from Jacksonville, Florida, 1999. This witness described an object which, quote, "made the same clockwise and counterclockwise spins on its axis, hovered motionless, and most strangely pivoted vertically with either the nose or the tail pointed to the ground until it formed a thin, nearly imperceptible line in the sky. Due to the relatively close proximity of the sighting to a naval air station, I've always suspected that what I saw was one of the military's new toys, and your article," talking about something I'd written, "boosts my belief that this is the case. I'm hoping one day soon that the Pentagon will take the wraps off these things so I can be vindicated in the eyes of my family, who, of course, they think he's crazy. Oh, you're crazy. But see, that's the thing. If only more people knew how many people were seeing and describing virtually the same craft."
Yeah, the other cases, too, I think in the mid-90s, in Illinois and Indiana, police officers chasing these things, for instance. Those were able to move at hypersonic speed, don't quite conform to the possible stealth. Part of a whole group of people skywatching, and we had something go over the San Luis Valley in the mid-90s that blocked out the stars. It was huge, gigantic, whatever it was. It seemed to be triangular in shape. I was with a group of people in the San Luis Valley in the mid-90s, and we had a huge object go over and block out the stars, and we weren't really able to determine its exact shape, but it did appear to be triangular-shaped. The closer it was to us, the less stars were blocked out, and as it went overhead, the stars seemed to be blocked out by a larger part of the object, a larger portion of the object. So It kind of was triangular, but we really couldn't you know, stake our reputations on it. But these things are being reported. Of course, the Belgium Wave too is another classic, head scratcher. Getting back to Greer Meeting Planner's point of cases kind of falling apart a little bit as the years go by. Another one, I saw an article a couple of weeks back about Kecksburg. And now there's the new revisionist theory that it was a reentering Russian satellite, which I'd seen that theory bannered about over the years. It kind of ebbed and flowed, but it seems that there's some pretty good evidence now that is indicating that that's a strong possibility that the early 60s Kecksburg incident in Pennsylvania may have indeed been some sort of reentering human created and engineered and built object, satellite of some sort. But did you read that? You guys happen to see that?
Yes.
Now, I gather, though, that our friend Stan Gordon, the Pennsylvania UFO and paranormal investigator, he doesn't buy the conventional explanation, and maybe his reasons are legitimate. But it also comes to this, which is when you run into a case where there are questions, new questions raised, some of the people who sponsored the original explanation or touted it suddenly, you know, they are reluctant. We've got more to come with Gene and Chris and Micah Hanks. You're in
the Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Kiyosaki, Rogers, and Schiff all concur there's an economic calamity that'll be facing this country. My question to you is, do you know when and are you prepared? Most people don't, but my friends over at Republic Monetary Exchange have been leading experts in precious metals to help you offset the coming economic collapse. Right now, for a limited time, they have a free book called The 10 Reasons You Should Own Gold. You simply need to give them a call at 888-772-2929 to get that in your hands. Do not allow the insiders to do what they did to you in 2008, putting your IRAs, 401ks, and savings in jeopardy. You need this book, and you need it now. The 10 Reasons You Should Own Gold. Call 888-772-2929. That's 888-772-2929. There's a reason that the largest investment banking company in the world, J.P. Morgan, just purchased another 50 million ounces of silver. This free book will explain it. 888-772-2929.
Actual testimonials from real Numana customers.
I've tried all kinds of food storage, and Numana is by far the best.
I'm a single mom with two teenage boys and a full-time job. I don't always have time to cook a four-course meal. That's where Numana's been such a blessing. I can spend less time in the kitchen and more time on what matters most, like helping with homework.
Find out for yourself. Order online at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Numana is...
The stores I love to eat. Yum!
Thepowermall.com.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Hi, it's Grant Cameron from PresidentialUFO.com. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We have a second radio show after the Paracast, and we do unusual things there or unexpected things. So, for example, last week we had Paul Kimball, in response to a listener's question, go through some of the key cases and best evidence and raise questions about his top 10. Only available if you subscribe to the Paracast Plus. Go to plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com for more information and simple sign-up instructions. We also give you a version of this show free of the network ads. And people raise questions about that in our new Paracast YouTube channel. That's where you solve it with a low fee. Plus.theparacast.com. So I was mentioning here that Kecksburg, there's an alternate explanation that certainly seems to have value, and I've read it, and the rest of the crew has read it. But someone like a Stan Gordon will be reluctant to see that, and I hope it's because he still feels the evidence is compelling, not because he's unwilling to admit that maybe a case he felt was genuine turns out to be otherwise. It's like, what will happen if Stanton Friedman ever says or admits that the MJ-12 documents are false? I don't think it's ever going to happen.
Well, you know, really quickly about Mr. Gordon, and he's always been a really great researcher, and I actually ran into him up in Kentucky just a few weeks ago. He was at one of the CryptidCon conference that my friend Tiffany and I went to. And again, you know, I respect people who have put decades of work into research like this. But one thing I've always thought about Kecksburg, too, is that the primary description of an acorn-like or something, you know, resembling that kind of a shape, and that's always kind of reminded me of some of the Soyuz capsules and some of the other Soviet spacecraft and satellites and things like that. So, again, to me, that seems to be a more likely explanation. And when we are faced with a popular UFO report in which there is a likely scenario which also seems to fit all the evidence, I'm all for going with, you know, follow Occam's razor and at least say that, you know, this is what seems most likely here. Now, again, coming back to something, Chris, that you mentioned, you talked about the St. Clair County UFO incident, which involved numerous people in southern Illinois. There were police officers who all observed one of these large triangles. Let's talk about that for a minute because, again, here we have a case where we have multiple witnesses. All of these witnesses are law enforcement officers. In addition to the law enforcement officers witnessing it, we also have had made publicly available since that incident the dispatch recordings which give real-time descriptions of what the officers said that they were seeing. That's key because law enforcement UFO sightings are very unique in the sense that most people don't carry around recording devices. Actually, of course, on your iPhone, you've got a recording device right there, and it's better quality than anything that you used to have back in the day of tape or even some of the more recent digital in recent years. But those police dispatch recordings do give a real-time running commentary on the visual as it's being described. We know how memories can be updated sometimes after a person has seen something, and it's important to be able to have that real-time description. Some of these law enforcement officer reports give us that, and the St. Clair County incident was one of those. But the other important thing to address about this, they all described a triangular-shaped object. I think one of the only people who didn't was the trucker who had come in early that morning who had reported it initially to the police there in southern Illinois. He said it looked like it could have been square-shaped. He said whatever it was looked like a flying house. And you got to keep in mind that as the officers are going out there and responding, a number of them not only saw the craft, but they all gave a similar description yet again of a large triangle aircraft, which that also is consistent with multiple other reports, as we've already heard a few just in my personal collection. There are plenty of others that are publicly available and some made to agencies like MUFON and the like. David Marler's written a whole book about this subject. Now, skeptic Brian Dunning, there's some things he's done that I really appreciate. He's written some good articles. I've even cited him as a source in some of my own books and articles because I always do appreciate the perspective of skeptics, but his explanation for that incident strains credulity, and I mean badly. And I hope at some point I can talk with him about this because Brian, when he was on the Joe Rogan podcast at one point, said that, you know, as recently as 10 years ago, I would have believed in the Patterson-Gimlin footage of Bigfoot, and you know, I had to kind of train myself to be skeptical. That's important because we do need to train ourselves and challenge ourselves to be skeptical. Critical thinking is important, and there's a deficit of that in this country. I won't talk about the current administration. I'll just, you know, leave that to the minds of the listeners. But I will say this. I will absolutely say that you can maybe sometimes become so skeptical that you start falling into sort of an ideological trap where you no longer believe anything that's associated with the fringe. Brian Dunning's explanation for the St. Clair County UFO, all of these officers saw one of the American Airship Company's blimps. It was giving a VIP tour. Because it was 3 a.m., unable to discern the features of the blimp, which operated frequently in that area. Now, what Brian failed to do, of course, with his explanation, he failed to give any record from the airship company or anything that he produced of his own No record was provided that actually showed without question that one of the American Airship Company's blimps was operating over St. Clair County at 3 o'clock in the morning. There was no rationale for why anybody would be given a VIP tour at that hour. Okay, and he gave no explanation for why every one of the officers, including one who photographed the object with the Polaroid camera, said that it was triangular shaped. Now, the photograph didn't look very good. It left a lot to the imagination, but it clearly showed that there was some sort of an object. And the lighting pattern was consistent with the three points of light that one of the officers said was apparent, one of them moving, on the back of this craft. So, I mean, what little that photograph actually showed us being a Polaroid photograph, I mean, at least it did seem to indicate that there might have been an object there. So, again, we've got the witness testimony from the law enforcement officers. We have the dispatch recordings. And we have others who had said that they had seen that who have come forward since and said that they actually observed this object on the same night in question, most of them truckers and people who were out late at night. If we're going to say that this was something conventional, tell me again why the airship company would have been giving the VIP tour at that time of night, and let's see a record of the flight at that time. They surely must keep a record of such things. To me, that explanation, to the skeptical mind, while it may seem more likely, that's because they are discounting the existing information upon which this is built, which is numerous other encounters and sightings that people have had with a remarkably similar aircraft. One of Dunning's other points was he said that, well, you know, no two of these triangle sightings actually is consistent. They change from sighting to sighting to sighting. No, actually they don't. The majority of them describe exactly what we've been talking about. A large triangle-shaped object, very dark, flies typically at fairly low altitude, usually moves kind of slowly. Sometimes it will accelerate and almost anomalously before it slows down again, as the one over St. Clair County did. If there are lights seen, they're usually on the back of the craft, or there are three points. White lights typically at the three points, and then a reddish light that's often described in the center on the base. Those descriptions are actually quite consistent. And so what I would challenge skeptics like Brian Dunning to do, and this isn't an attack against him, it's a reasonable request, I think. Please look at more of the data before you discount a multiple witness law enforcement sighting of one of these objects, because they aren't the only ones that saw it.
I'm going to ask an outside question which contradicts what you just said, but there's a point to it. What if at the end of the day, all the key cases in the UFO field that we've depended on to indicate something strange is going on could be explained conventionally somehow? Where would we be left with all that after all these years? You see, back in the early days, the Air Force contention was that even the so-called unknowns in the Project Blue Book reports would be explained if they had enough information. Now, we understand the Air Force and other skeptics would stretch the truth. But what if most of the key cases ended up being something that can be explained? And it may require rechecking the facts, rechecking the memories. Human memory is a lot less perfect than we thought it was. What would happen? That would be a question of the ages. And I got a lot of other questions to ask of our guest, Micah Hanks, of the Graylian Report. And he's got so many things going on his site. He'll tell you later. Lots of fascinating stuff. With Gene and with Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com. Attention type 2 diabetics. If you or a loved one has taken Invokana, Invokamet, or Invokamet XR or other inhibitors for type 2 diabetes and suffered amputation of the toes, feet, or legs, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA has warned that Invokana, Invokamet, or Invokamet XR and other inhibitors for type 2 diabetes cause an increased role in amputations of the toes, feet, and legs. If you or a loved one has taken Invokana, Invokamet, or Invokamet XR or other inhibitors for type 2 diabetes and suffered amputation of the toes, feet, or legs, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-475-7607. That's 800-475-7607. Again, 800-475-7607. Call now.
This is an advertisement paid non-attorney spokesperson. www.injuryhelpdesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
So the question on the table, Micah Hanks. Could it possibly be it's all for naught, as compelling as some of these cases are? And we could certainly find reasons why, in the case you cited, you know, it couldn't have been conventional. What if it was?
What if it was? Well, I mean, my feeling is simply this. In the case that we discussed, but I want to get into the broader question here in a moment, but in the case we just discussed before the break with the St. Clair County multiple witness law enforcement officer sighting of this triangle over southern Illinois, the descriptions to me, again, are the descriptions given by the officers all match, generally. And those also seem to be consistent with other reports of this kind of a large aircraft. Now, would it be a conventional explanation if, again, there is a secret government project, if this is a DARPA stealth blimp, if this is something the Pentagon uses? Again, one of Brian Dunning's arguments against it had been, well, if this is a stealth aircraft, they wouldn't be flying it over, you know, a fairly populated area where everybody might see it. But then again, you got to keep in mind, is it more likely that an aircraft like that, if it had to cross the distance between two routes, is going to fly over a populated area and do so at 3 a.m. when there are fewer people likely to see it than the American Airship Company giving a VIP tour at that hour? Again, one of those actually, to me, in terms of if we're dealing with a stealth U.S. government craft, makes a lot of sense. The other, if we're dealing with a conventional aircraft that's mysteriously seven or eight officers of the law couldn't discern from being a blimp, even at 3 a.m., despite the fact that the thing had lights on it, that doesn't make a lot of sense to me. So if you want to call a government secret project a conventional explanation, I actually already endorse that idea. And I think that, yes, these are conventional explanations. The problem is that when we're trying to frame the narrative, we don't have all the facts because of the necessary secrecy related to those subjects. But in the broader context of ufology, if we could look back and we could say what was really going on, yeah, I'd say at least half, but probably better, does have to do with misperception of, again, probably fairly prosaic technologies and phenomena, some of them not technology at all, some of them merely natural things. The way that people's minds interpret that, not only at the time of the sighting, but also the way that that kind of memory is updated thereafter, there's probably that psychological component. Again, there have been a lot of researches over the years. Alan Hendry had famously said that we have to be able to take into account delusions and fantasies. And I mean, it's sad, but I've spoken with people who I knew, based on what they described, were looking at the planet Venus, and they constructed these beautiful narratives about all the paranormal phenomena that happened while they were standing out in their backyard and had this beautiful family experience looking at the planet Venus. And, you know, sometimes you just got to kind of kick back and listen to them, let them tell the story that they want to tell. All the while, I know that they were creating this incredible, fantastic narrative in their minds as they're standing there looking at, you know, one of our nearby planetary bodies here in our solar system. So, you know, yeah, all of those things must be taken into consideration. But I would absolutely say that in the, you know, over the last course of, you know, 50 years or so of ufology, yeah, probably conventional explanations could be applied to the majority.
Now, here's the thing, too. That works to the advantage of the government. You want to keep something secret. Well, people will just say it's a UFO if they see it. So that is your excuse. Well, UFOs are ridiculous. You saw a UFO, that's just something that's not real. So we'll just use that as our excuse. That's a way of providing disinformation. It advances their cause. And unfortunately, if there's real stuff going on there, that also advances the cause of keeping it a secret from us.
Absolutely. Yeah, see, I think that, again, people laugh at the idea of disinformation. Oh, it's the government. The government's out to get us. The government's doing this. The government's doing that. There is historical precedent for people, not only like with Paul Benowitz and the Richard Doty affair, people being given bad information. The problem is that we most often associate that with fringe topics like UFOs. Look at situations, you know, I don't know, where somebody may be investigating something with regard to environmental protections, you know, or environmental issues. Think about instances there. If we were to look into the data, and again, that's not my purview, so I don't have information I can draw from directly, but I guarantee you'd probably find, whether it be in pharmaceutical studies, whether it be with environmental agencies and environmental protections, whether it involves national parks, whether it involves, you know, infrastructure, who knows? There are probably other instances where bad information is given to the public in order to do one of two things. A, protect secrets that the government maintains for reasons of national security. Two, there could be a bureaucratic aspect to some of it, which may involve special interests and the like. I mean, there are any number of other scenarios, but again, I think that there are plenty of historical instances where one could actually look at this. That'd be a great idea for a book well outside the scope of just ufology. Instances where civilians have been lied to or given bad information explicitly and intentionally so as to misdirect public opinion on a subject in order to preserve secrecy. Sadly, I mean, that sounds like an awful thing to have people do, especially our government officials who we elect and who we pay, although a lot of our non-elected officials are the ones probably behind this kind of a thing. But I do think that we have to keep in mind that it's not only a likelihood, but again, there's historical precedent for it. So the Paul Benowitz affair is outlined in Greg Bishop's book, Project Beta. It's just one of probably numerous, maybe countless instances where that kind of thing has happened. And in large part, probably most of the UFO phenomena could be explained as a result of those kinds of operations.
And another thing to bear in mind in terms of classifying something as secret. One thing came out of this controversy over the Hillary Clinton emails about alleged classified information, and that is, it's a lot easier to take something and say it's classified than to lay it out there. And it turned out in that particular case, a lot of things that were already public domain, they were in newspapers, they were already available online, but the government called them secret anyway.
You know, I've got a few people who are formerly with government. I can tell you explicitly, I don't have any friends who are actively, engaged in secrecy or anything like that by virtue of their job detail at the Pentagon or anything like that. Nobody gives me secret information. I've never been privy to that kind of thing, however much I may want it, especially in related to UFOs. But again, these are national security measures, and there are also laws that prevent that kind of thing and could even affect somebody like me. So Fortunately, we might also say, nobody's ever leaked any information to me. But we do see this as far as the media, journalism, and whatnot. This happens quite often. In this age of WikiLeaks, we do know that information is obtained and then leaked to the public. But I did have a friend who was a former advisor at the Pentagon, and he and I were having a very candid discussion about some of these things. And he's a friend who often takes it upon himself to brief me on the realities of how some of these debriefing processes and things like this go so that I can be aware of it. I don't have any kind of a functional background with U.S. military or intelligence. And so he says, you're very smart. You got the right idea, Micah. But, you know, with your research, there are some things that by virtue of not having worked in that world yourself, you're kind of ignorant to. And hence I can explain how those processes work. And one thing he'd absolutely told me on numerous occasions was that, essentially, if you're in a situation where information has been released, Micah, you could, if it's been leaked and WikiLeaks put something out online, you could read that. But there are some situations where something is believed to be classified information, and I'm still active duty in whatever department. It may actually be against the law for me to read that if it's still classified information, and I don't have the necessary classification clearance, or if indeed I don't have the need to know. So there are a lot of like levels of secrecy, I think, and certain areas of question and maybe you call them dark areas as it relates to clearances and secrecy and things like that. But yeah, with the Clinton emails, God, we could talk all day about that and not even related to UFOs. What does interest me about that though are the UFO related elements that came out in those releases. And I guess in this age of WikiLeaks, maybe we can expect to see more of that kind of thing in the future.
Unfortunately, when it comes to WikiLeaks, we don't know 100% whether something that is released hasn't been tampered with. I mean, that raises all sorts of eggs or fried eggs or something like that, or broken eggs. Okay, this is going to be a strange segue. Not about the eggs, but about the After the Paracast podcast, where Micah will be on to continue this discussion once we're done here. That's After the Paracast, part of the Paracast Plus. Go to plus.theparacast.com. Once again, go to plus.theparacast.com for more information on signing up with simple sign-up instructions. We also give you a version of this show free of the network ads. So how about that? We've got Micah Hanks, don't know if he likes eggs or not. Gene Steinberg, who doesn't eat eggs. And Chris O'Brien, I guess, who does. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on this special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Fully cooked, ready to eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready to eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and serve. Life-saving, ready to eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
You've heard the phrase, you are what you eat? Not true. Actually, you are what you can absorb. So if the vitamins and supplements you now take are not being absorbed, what good are they? Introducing Protovite, proprietary liquid system that allows premium quality nutrients to positively affect the blood in an astonishing 5 minutes. Watch our amazing 2-minute live blood cell video at TrueHealthFacts.com. That's TrueHealthFacts.com. Then call 502-410-3411. Protovite is nutrition you can feel. Protovite is nutrition that gets in.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you?
I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
How did you become addicted? A friend? Were you at a party and someone said, hey, try this? Then you got the cold sweats and started shaking. And the more you did it, the more it didn't work. So you switched to the needle. Now you're a train wreck. Drinking, drugging, broke. Your family hates you. And you hate you. Get out of your hell on earth now. Call the Detox and Treatment Helpline today for immediate help. In many cases, your insurance may cover the costs. We can't guarantee it, but we can guarantee we have what you need to change your life for the better. Pick up your cell phone and call right now. 855-700-2979. 855-700-2979. 855-700-2979. That's 855-700-2979.
Want revenge on the common housefly? Well, after 10,000 years, someone has finally come up with a better way. The Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun, which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic and no batteries required. $39.95 plus shipping and handling. Use discount code GCN and receive 15% off your purchase at bugassault.com. Fire your fly swatter and get your Bug Assault today.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
And we're not going to crack any more eggs, nor attempt to crack jokes. I'll leave it at that. You gave me a list of some interesting talking points, Micah.
Before we do that, I would like to know what Micah thinks about Tom DeLonge and Mr. Blink 182 and his rather over-the-top claims of insider knowledge and, you know, relationships with higher-ups at Wright Patton. What do you make of this whole scenario, Michael?
Okay, that's a great subject, and I'd be more than willing to get into that before we discuss the other stuff. So, full disclosure. Growing up as a teenager, my kid brother, Caleb, had been, and actually, I think, Chris, you met Caleb one year at one of the UFO congresses out there. He and I were out there together.
Very, very talented guy.
Oh, he's incredible. Yeah, great musician. You know, and he and I have been musicians. Speaking of great musicians, again, we're talking to another one here, Chris O'Brien. We keep saying we're going to jam one of these days, but it's going to happen. As far as Tom DeLonge goes, though, full disclosure, Caleb was a huge fan of Blink-182, and via some associations and friends that we have in the UFO community, when Tom DeLonge got back into his UFO stuff, but prior to the formalization of his secret machines stuff that he's doing right now, Caleb was hired by Tom DeLonge and his to the Stars Media Company to do some art for his website, for articles. Some other friends of mine, Jason McClellan and Maureen Ellsbury, were writers for the website. Caleb would illustrate some of their articles. And Caleb spoke to Tom DeLonge on the telephone. Now, I knew that Tom DeLonge had an interest in UFOs. I was fascinated by that, and I had hoped that through the association that Caleb and Jason and Maureen had with him, and at times a personal, where they spoke to him, relationship, I'd hoped to have one thing maybe occur, to be able to have a sit-down one-on-one with him to talk about the UFO subject, because I had some grave concerns even at that time about what information he was being given and what he was trusting as far as what he considered reliable sources. Shortly thereafter, my friend Jason, the aforementioned Jason McClellan, contacted me and said, hey, Tom's got a new book. It's a fiction novel, but it's based on truth. It has to do with UFOs. They wanted to know if you'd like to review this book for Tom. And I said, I'd love to read it. And yes, I'll absolutely write an honest review about it. And so I read the book. It's called Secret Machines, Volume 1, Chasing Shadows. I read it. It's a very good novel, co-authored with A.J. Hartley, who's actually a professor, a Shakespearean English professor, right here in North Carolina. And so at some point, if he makes it to an event somewhere around here in this region, I actually hope to go meet AJ, because it's more likely I'll meet him than Tom DeLonge. Since then, there was a dissolution of that company, and Caleb no longer is employed. by that company, and so I don't have any direct association with Tom DeLonge, but I did review the book, and in the review I wrote for MysteriousUniverse.org, I had said, I like this book a lot. I do have some concerns about where the information is coming from. And I insinuated in that review I wrote that I would really like, and I insinuated it very, very discreetly by, I don't know, putting it in bold text in the middle of the article. I would really like, hold on, guys, I would really like to talk to Tom DeLonge about this. Okay. I wanted to be really...
And so did you get a call?
No, not at all, no. I tweeted the review at him, and I didn't get a, you know, anything, so... Still waiting to have that conversation with him. But now let's skip ahead to last year's presidential election. And we did have the email links, the email leaks from John Podesta. And John Podesta said that some of those emails, according to his ability to discern, they had been tampered with, is what he said. We know they were leaked by WikiLeaks. We don't know what the source of those leaks were. Julian Assange maintains that he hasn't worked for any state. He's not been, again, employed by some state like Russia, you know, or other agency. He says that's not who was behind this, and that he said that there had been a source that gave him these emails. Now, we won't get into that whole issue of, you know, who the source might have been, how credible some of the claims have been, all the conspiracy theories about that. But what we know from the actual emails that were leaked is that Tom DeLonge had been in touch with John Podesta. John Podesta has maintained a long interest in UFOs going all the way back to the first Clinton administration. John Podesta had also apparently agreed to meet with not only Tom DeLonge, but a Major General William McCaslin, from Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. Okay, so if we go online and we look up McCaslin, what we find is that McCaslin is essentially the head of their science division there at Wright-Patton. That is a position where he oversees about 11,000 people who are employees who also deal in the sciences as it relates to U.S. Air Force operations. DeLonge had made some references to a quote-unquote scientist, and he actually said in his books, in, for instance, the foreword to Secret Machines, that we'll have one guy, we'll call him the scientist. I'm pretty convinced that Major William McCaslin was the guy that he called the scientist. We know that that guy also was going to go with him and presumably did go with Tom DeLonge to meet with John Podesta in Washington sometime during the campaign last year. Now, this brings us to my nominee for Ufologist of 2016. The award goes to, drumroll please, Jimmy Kimmel. Okay, you name one other guy who has managed to get, not one, not two, but several former U.S. commander-in-chiefs to talk about the UFO.
That's true, he has.
He's gotten them all on record before the nation on a live broadcast to talk about UFOs. Now, Hillary Clinton hadn't been elected and actually ultimately was not elected, but while she was in the runnings, when she appeared on the program, they spoke frankly about UFOs. You remember she said, well, we call them UAP now. And she said, yeah, we're going to reopen this and look into it if I get elected. Well, as we know.
Area 51 in New Mexico. I love that.
No. Yeah, right. I think she may have been mistaking that for Roswell. But the point being is that, yes, the Clinton campaign and John Podesta especially were very interested in UFOs, it seems. Enough so that Podesta, in the middle of a very contentious election year, was going to meet with a former rock star from Blink-182 and the chief of the science division at Wright-Patt. It seems that that indeed actually did happen. So we have to say that at least some of the sources that DeLonge claims he has, which he hadn't named publicly before that, they absolutely are legitimate. Now, the question is DeLonge the latest Paul Benowitz? Is he being controlled or manipulated in some way, similar to these other instances where there is historical precedent, like we said earlier, for the manipulation of and the seeding of bad information among the civilian populace? Tom DeLonge is not a person who holds any kind of a secret clearance, as far as I know. He has not at any time, to my knowledge, served in the U.S. government and does not have any other way that he could receive such information apart from his alleged associations, some of which have now been verified, I think, with these people in various intelligence agencies and other divisions of governments. The question is, how much of the information he's been given is good? What information has he been given? With the forthcoming projects in his To the Stars media, we may find out about some of that. But I definitely, definitely have questions based on the historical precedent for similar weird things that have happened in the past. So there you go. You asked.
Well, I was sitting at the table there in the banquet hall when they played the, you know, they awarded the UFO Congress awarded him in Researcher of the Year, and he couldn't attend, but he sent a an acceptance speech. And one particular line from that speech really kind of bothered me, and that was, I've read all the UFO books, so I know everything about the subject.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Wow.
You cut out.
And to me, to have the hubris and the temerity to make such a bit of a light on the guy's ego and does indicate to me that I think he's got some really interesting ideas, but they're all in the realm of trying to monetize ideas. I don't think that he'd be the last person in the world, I would suspect, that the government would start to divulge classified information to and start to doing a soft disclosure process with. It just doesn't make any sense to me at all.
I'll tell you what, I'll name one book you could not possibly have read. UFO 96, published by Gray Barker. It was a sort of kind of wacky satirical piece that reflected a part of Gray Barker's personality that the public didn't always get to see. Not at all. I guarantee you, he never read that book, and neither of you did either.
Actually, I wrote the foreword. I wrote the foreword to the new edition.
I don't even think you were alive when that book was printed. I remember printing it. I was at Gray Barker's house. I was at Gray Barker's house when he ran off the copies on his offset machine in the 60s. So there. That's just one example. Inside the Saucers 1965 from Tim Beckley. It's another one he didn't read.
Yeah, probably. I've got a pre-publication copy of Underground Bases and Tunnels with the spiral binding that I'm pretty proud of. Signed by Sauter.
Well, at the bottom of at the end of the day, I think we could probably agree that there are plenty of books that Tom DeLonge has not read on the UFO subject.
Plenty of things about the UFO subject that he doesn't know. In fact, there's more stuff about UFOs that I've forgotten than he probably knows.
I would agree.
You know, let's get off Tom DeLonge. He does not deserve the publicity.
Well, you brought up WikiLeaks, and I thought, hey, what a perfect dovetail to go into that particular.
Actually, I didn't bring up WikiLeaks. Actually, I brought up the Hillary Clinton email scandal, which was not necessarily WikiLeaks, but whatever it is. We got more to come with Gene, Chris, and Micah. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. If you go to store.theparacast.com, stop by and take a shopping tour.
You haven't experienced yogurt until you've tried Amasi, embodying health and flavor in a true whole milk, green-fed dairy beverage. Every sip pays homage to our old-world cows and the ancient culturing methods their milk benefits from. With over 30 probiotics, Amasi's undeniably nutritious, refined, cultured sensation bolsters your health and awakens your passion for dairy. Amasi's so good, and you need to try it. Contact your Youngevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com.
North Korea openly threatens the U.S. and launches a new missile every other week. Their warhead of choice? Electromagnetic pulse. Such an event would cripple the U.S. power grid for years and leave millions in the dark. Are you ready? You can be with a Solark EMP-hardened solar generator. Solark works day in and day out to keep your essentials protected. You can have peace of mind knowing your power will be there when you most need it. Visit PortableSolarLLC.com to see EMP testing. That's PortableSolarLLC.com. Energy insurance for your family.